This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The world's largest retail chain will transition to cage-free eggs by 2025. Bloomberg reports that Walmart and its Sam's Club warehouse chain will require that its egg suppliers adopt United Egg Producers rules or an equivalent set of standards for cage-free housing. The company says compliance will be checked annually by a third party. Walmart sells more groceries than any other company in the country. The new guidelines will apply to the retailers' more than 5,000 stores located in the United States. The move by Walmart puts more pressure on the egg industry, which is facing a costly transition to cage-free housing. The United Egg Producers Group says only 6% of U.S. hens are currently raised without cages. In other ag news, DuPont will work with Chinese seed producer Origin Agritech to develop new biotech traits for China. Bloomberg reports the Chinese company is awaiting approval of corn varieties to control insects and tolerate herbicides. The two companies in a statement said the partnership will bring much-needed new seed options for China's farmers. DuPont's Pioneer Seed Unit has operated in China for almost 20 years and is the largest multinational corn seed company in the country. China's president has urged the country to take the lead in developing genetically engineered crops. Syngenta could also enter the Chinese market with biotech traits once the proposed acquisition by ChemChina is final. And yesterday, I attended Illinois Farm Bureau's Governmental Affairs Leadership Conference in Springfield at the Crown Plaza Hotel. While I was there, I had the opportunity to talk with the American Farm Bureau Federation's newly elected president, Zippy Duvall. Zippy is a farmer from Georgia with years of leadership experience, and we discussed his goals he would like to achieve as president and what his farming operation looks like at home. I guess the best way to start out is really to find out a little about you and tell us where you're from and what your farming operation looks like at home.
Sure, I come from Georgia, northeastern part of Georgia, and I spent a lifetime dairying. I milked about 300 cows for 30 years, and got out of that and replaced them with beef cattle. So we have about 350 mama cows, and this year is our 30th year of growing poultry. We are a contract grower for Pilgrim Pride.
Well, sounds like a great operation that you have. With your time being spent here in Illinois this week, any differences that you see in our agriculture compared to Georgia? Maybe a little more black dirt here, but let's talk about differences and maybe the growing season. Just how does it compare?
Well, in South Georgia, where most of our row crop is, which is mostly what I saw yesterday when I was riding around, they're already planted a lot of the crops, all the corn's in the ground, and they're getting ready to put the peanuts and the cotton in now. So, yes, the dirt has a lot different color. You know, you have a red, pebbly-looking dirt that the peanuts grow in, and up where I come from is red clay. And our topsoils are not nearly as thick as some of the topsoils up here. So this is a wonderful farmland up here. It's just beautiful, even though there's not a crop on it. But to ride around the countryside and see a little dust stirring, it kind of makes you as a farmer just kind of get excited about what the summer's going to bring.
Well, I'm sure farmers in this area are pleased to hear those comments from you. Let's talk now about your role as president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. Newly elected, do you have any goals going forward now as you serve this role? What are some things that you'd like to do?
Well, the big thing is I got to build those relationships with all the important people that are involved in policy making for agriculture. And, you know, that's not just outside of Farm Bureau, it's inside of Farm Bureau, too. But, you know, congressmen, senators, people at USDA, trade advisory people for different countries. You know, I've kind of run the gamut, and we're constantly, several times a week, meeting with the people in those areas and trying to build those relationships. So that's been real interesting to me. The other goal that I have is bring unity to our industry. We talk a lot about being united in Farm Bureau, but we just can't be united together just in Farm Bureau. Agriculture is made up of a smaller group of people now, and there's so few of us doing, and all the other people in America, that what we do set them free to do what they want to do, but they're so removed from agriculture they don't understand us. So we're going to work to try to unite agribusiness, policymakers, Farm Bureau people and commodity groups, and I think we have got to make an effort to work together as we move down to and approach some of these huge challenges that are in front of us as agriculture.
And I know you're fairly new to this presidential role, but has it been what you've expected so far? Are you busier than you expected, or how's it going for you?
Well, you know, the new guy in town, everybody wants a piece of him. So, you know, they want you to come and speak. And, of course, you can't be everywhere. But I'm trying to be everywhere I can be, physically be, and try to speak to all the right people. So, you know, it's important for me to do that in town, but also I want to get out in the countryside because, you know, the first year of my presidency will be not only a hard-working year, but it'll be a learning experience because I come from Georgia, and even though we have a lot of regional differences in Georgia and we produce just about everything from apples to zucchini in Georgia, it may be a mirror of American agriculture, but it's nothing like going to that farm or that part of the country and actually seeing how the issues are affecting farmers. And see, I think that's my job. It's my job in the absence of the farmer to be able to stand in front of Congress or any other group and tell them how these issues affect those farmers. So my plan is to be in Arizona on the border to look at immigration, to be in California to talk about drought, to be at the grasslands and grazing rights out west. And, of course, here in this area, the infrastructure along the lake and our roadways and bridges are very interesting to me, and I want to know how to talk about those issues and how it's affecting the farmers here in this area. So those are just things, just a top of the on the list, and there are many, many more.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you, Zippy. Is there anything that I haven't asked you today that you'd like to mention or anything else you'd like to share with us?
Sure. You know, I understand how busy people are on the farm. When I dairied, you know, there just wasn't enough hours in the day to get everything done. But I would like to leave an impression with everybody to make them understand how important it is for them to be involved. Because their voice, whether it be through our policy development process, through our county farm bureaus, or through their commodity groups, their voice of what's going on their farm and what they need to be productive and be able to go into the future and take on these problems is very important. And as the president of the largest general farm organization in this country, I want to make sure that every farmer has the opportunity to tell his story and that we can get his feedback so that we can really develop some really sound agricultural policies that's going to help him, his family, and his rural community, because that's what we're all about.
Once again, that was American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall of Georgia. And that's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.